Well, six oh six. I'll call the meeting of the Ashland Tree Commission to order. First up is approval of minutes of last month, which I guess there were no minutes from last month. So the previous month.
Correct, to March.
March. Anyone like to make a motion to approve the minutes as written?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor.
Did you make the motion and Eric seconded it?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Hi. Close enough. Okay, so liaison reports. No, Stephen. Peter Boffman, what's happening in the parks these days?
Well, I wanted to let you know we set up an irrigation system at the Japanese garden to let water all the existing trees there. It's kind of a combination soaker hoses and some hand watering. We all got together and we're going to make a real effort to protect everything that's left in there over the summer. That's thought that was important. And other than that, I know Kat isn't here, but I wanted to thank her for setting up a sign at the Ashland Pond telling people to leash their dogs because of the bird nesting going on there. Appreciate that.
Where's progress at with that, with Japanese garden? It's kind of slowed down a bit, right, for the season? Or
yeah, a lot of the excavation, you've probably seen in the masonry, the big wall has been built, some paths, and a little bit of a lull now, but I think Toru's been away for a couple of weeks, but he's due to get back, and I think they're going to get going on that again pretty shortly, so it's still going on. It's just a bit of a lull there.
Cool. You got the irrigation set up, now it needs water.
Right. That's going to be a big problem, of course. As everyone knows, this summer, limited water is going to be expensive, using a lot of city water instead of TID. So we're just keeping our fingers crossed that, like everyone else, I'm sure that we can make it through this summer without losing plants and just going to be difficult.
Yeah, going to be a rough one. Look like maybe Aaron stalking with Asa, would be my guess.
Okay.
All right, sorry about that. I had to play a little tech support there. Asa had a problem, which he got kicked out of. I just sent him a new link, and he is in the process of signing back on. So technology in the age of COVID.
Has there been any talk or anybody doing in-person meetings yet? City Council or any of the commissions or
outside? As of yet, no. And we had at our most recent community development staff meeting, there was no update on when we were going to be coming back to the to in-person. Sorry, I was distracted because we just had an attendee arrive, but it's not Asa. When that meeting happened, where we got that update about not coming back to the office anytime soon, of course, Kate Brown had just announced that we were going back to extreme. And of course, we were only there for 1 week, and now we're back to high. So I just don't know anything more at this point. I'm going to call Asa one more time to see if he's having a problem with that link. Pardon me.
Eric Simpson, how about a landscaping report?
We're really busy. My phone is ringing so much every once in a while. I will say, we're out of town. Please call back next week. I'm serious. We can't keep up with it, you know. And I don't want to hire a secretary. I mean, I'm the secretary.
Not an enviable spot to be. Wow. There he is. There he is.
Okay, good. We're back in business.
Hey, guys. Sorry, it took me a while. I don't know what was happening there.
You're all right.
It's all right. You're looking good.
We're on to a liaison report from Aaron.
Yeah. So what I'd like to do is, as you guys know, we didn't have a quorum last month, and that was because we didn't have four people. And you'll notice that we only have three commissioners tonight, but I haven't said anything about it being a problem yet. The reason for that is, and I wanted to put this all out there, is I was aware of the standard provisions for a meeting quorum that's under the general administration provisions. And what it talks about is that a quorum shall consist of at least one half of the total number of authorized members of the body, including vacant positions. Okay. We're a 7-member body. So we need four to meet that threshold. What I didn't know until I did some research following that meeting was that in AMC 2.25, which specifically lays out the rules for the tree commission, it actually has a slightly different quorum procedure. And what it says there is a quorum is one half of the number of sitting commissioners plus one, but in no case less than three. So right now we are meeting that qualification because of the sitting members, of which there are four, three meets that requirement. So that's the reason that we, and if I had known that provision, we would have gone ahead and met last month. And I'm sorry that we didn't. What I wanted to do was give you a brief update about the agenda items that were on last month's meeting and how those cases have been dispositioned in the time since. And so just real briefly, some of these are actually before you again tonight, and some of them aren't, and I'll explain why. The first one that was on our agenda last month was Mountain Meadows. That's the first one on our agenda tonight as well. The second one on our agenda last month was at 2110 Siskiyou Boulevard. It was a pine tree that was 7 inches DBH and was basically a foot away from a wooden arbor that connected to the building. It was clear. It was, to me, I had presumed it was a volunteer from when the development happened, and it was a sapling that should have been killed when it was much younger, inappropriate location. I reviewed the application materials with the staff advisor, and we approved that removal. The next item that was on the agenda last month was 912 Siskiyou Boulevard. This is a large historic house right next to the Church of Latter-day Saints building. And they're going through a process to allow the development of an ARU behind that building and to also do some modifications to the building itself. And because it's individually listed on the National Register, that triggered a planning action. And basically the building envelope, the area that made sense to build this add-on to the house within the footprint of that area was a 35-inch cedar and a 10-inch Japanese maple. You know, I hate losing a large cedar that large, as a healthy cedar that large as well. But it's one of those things where, based on its location, based on the fact that when you're talking about the criteria for a tree that is not a standard, one of those criteria is that nothing in that section shall be allowed to reduce the density of development. And basically the location of that tree was simply incompatible with adding an additional dwelling unit on that property. The findings haven't been drafted yet because it just went to the Historic Commission yesterday, where the Historic Commission did recommend approval. The reason the Historic Commission got a chance to look at it again was the first time the Historic Commission saw it, they continued to a date and time certain. Because we didn't meet at all, there was no continuance, and it would have required us to re-notice the application, which would have unnecessarily delayed the applicant. So we didn't bring that back to you on this month's agenda. The next item on the agenda from April was 365 Strawberry Lane. It was an application that we expected to be quite contentious. There were a number of people who had signed up to speak, both for and against. As it happens, that application has gotten a little bit mired down because of expected litigation, and the applicant has requested a postponement. They're going to be submitting revised materials. At that time, we're going to be required to re-notice it again, and that application will become before you again at that time. That would either be in June or July. It depends on how quickly the applicant moves on that. And then finally, the last application that was on our agenda for last month was 444 Courtney Street. It's a street tree removal. It's a fairly large street tree removal. The staff advisor could have made a decision on his own to approve it. It's because of the stature of the tree, the staff, and because there wasn't a pressing time component to it, it's a ministerial action rather than a land use action, that we chose not to take any action on that. And that is actually before you tonight. And in the time that we were waiting for ASA to get on board, Chris, the applicant for that is here. So after we dispose of the first item on our agenda, I would suggest that we skip down to 444 Courtney on the agenda. And that is all I had to report, because I just really wanted to cover those agenda items from last month.
Okay. Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so everybody follow that. So the second agenda item will be the Courtney Street removal permit, street tree removal permit. But so, okay, well, let's jump into it here. This is the time and the place for the tree commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping and trees. The following procedure will be used in this hearing. The public hearing will be open, and those interested in stating their positions regarding the matter to be considered will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, all who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time, give your name, address, and make your statement. Secondly, at the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. Third, after the staff report, the applicant and the applicant's representative will have 15 minutes to present the proposal. The commissioners may ask questions of the applicant or the applicant's representative without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the applicant's presentation. Next, other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding the application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those wishing to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. Next, the staff will then be given an opportunity to respond to any question of the commission or any matter which has been raised. And finally, the applicant will then have 5 minutes of rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. So I will call to order planning action 2021-00140. This is near 947 Mountain Meadows. The subject tree is located between two buildings. The owner is Mountain Meadows Parkside Condominium Associations Incorporated. The applicant is Southern Oregon Tree Care. This is a request for approval to remove one red maple at Mountain Meadows. The application prepared by an ISA certified arborist indicates that the tree is 14 inches diameter best height and stands approximately 40 feet tall. The application explains that the tree is not well rooted based on the rocky nature of the ground and that the height of the tree now exposes it to wind loads above the building. The concern is that a wind event may cause the tree to fail and potentially cause damage to the building. Application states the intent to mitigate the tree with a species better suited to the environment. And I believe this was on last month's agenda. Did anybody have a chance to visit this one or need to abstain?
I think you visited, but you had the wrong address.
I think that was the, yeah. Well,
so if I could speak to the application for a minute. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this originally came before us at your March meeting. The application materials included a site plan that showed the tree between the two incorrect buildings. And the address that was given to us was given to us by the arborist. So when we heard this initially in March, there was the arborist report, but the application materials didn't include any photos and none of the commissioners were able to find the tree. Which is why you chose to recommend denial and which is why it's before you again now. In your packet this time, there are photos. They promised to send a revised site plan showing where the tree was, but one was never submitted. And if you're looking at the map that's in your packet, you see the X There's basically three large buildings. The northernmost one, the one that's addressed 936, that's more central, and then the next building that has all of the many numbers of addresses. And it's between those two buildings where that tree is located. With that said, Chris, with your permission, I would turn it over to Ron to speak in favor of the application.
Yes.
Thank you. We apologize for the wrong address and information there. I don't know where it came from, and I'm sorry you had an extra.
Yeah, it came from Beaver Tree Care, who applied for the permit on your behalf.
Yeah,
Southern Oregon.
Oh, pardon me, Southern Oregon, pardon me.
Yeah. Anyway, the description here of what the problem is pretty accurate. It's a tree that probably is a volunteer, because I can't see why anybody would plant a tree right up next to the foundation. It's going to be 40 to 50 feet tall. So that's our concern, and the roots are exposed. And we just want to avoid having a problem in the future. And we want to put in a tree or a plant that is more suited to that particular tight area. I can try to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for the applicant?
Hey, Ron. Sorry, I didn't. I skimmed through part of Willie's statement about the tree, but in one of the pictures, it looks like it's missing bark kind of on the western side. Is it on the roots? Is that missing bark?
I can't tell you. I haven't looked at it recently, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's not a healthy place for a tree to grow.
Okay. Any other questions for Ron or for Aaron about this one? Did anybody go and look at this? I tried the first time, and I'm pretty sure I was actually in the right area. We were just, I know Kat and I were confused about which tree exactly, and it's hard, such a big area. And
it's in between birch and cottonwood, and the address actually is 901 rather than 947, which is a whole building difference. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right then. Thank you, Ron. We'll at this time close the public hearing portion. Was there anyone else to speak on this, Aaron?
There's another gentleman from the landscape firm that was here in case he was able to field any questions, but I don't think that he needs to say anything unless Ron wants to invite him in. Ron?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Ron, I'm going to go ahead and put you back into an attendee status, okay?
Okay. Will you need me anymore? I might go eat supper.
You're more than welcome to. They're just going to deliberate and render a verdict.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you,
John.
I don't feel this needs a whole lot of discussion, but what do you guys think?
I'm fine approving the application. I mean, especially if it's a volunteer.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was a volunteer, but I think at this point it's probably not the best tree and for the spot. And we were just uncomfortable not knowing exactly which tree it was last time. So.
Yeah, and you know, now that it's tall, it's going to be getting lots of light. But you know, if they want to remove it, you know, it to me it seems like it's got a weird form. You know.
Yeah,
kind of. And if the pictures. Right. You know, the first picture where that shows looking up at the tree from the base, it kind of looks like it's missing bark on one of the roots there. But either way, you know, it seems like, yeah, it just seems like it's going to get bigger. And then at a certain point, probably decline. You know, I don't know how much traffic there is at the base, but to me, it just looks odd at the base. It
just had to be pruned so hard on the one side to keep up on building clearance.
And that too. Yeah.
Worse. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, Eric, you're up.
I'd like to approve the application and move on as it is.
I second that motion. all those in favor, we could do a show of hands helps. Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay.
All right. So next we'll do the street tree on Courtney. So I'll call to order planning action tree 2020-00146. This is 444 Courtney. The owner applicant is Pembroke Investments LLC. This is a request for the removal of a street tree. The tree is causing uplift of the driveway and curb affecting drainage. The application includes showing the extent of the damage. The application does not include an arborist report. Any site visits on this one? I looked at this last month. Asa, Eric, you guys?
Yeah, I looked at it last month.
Yeah. Am I needing to abstain? Okay. Give us a quick refresher on the staff report, Aaron.
Yeah, so this is a tree that I remember getting a call from this applicant shortly after I started working for the city. And at the time, my recollection was that their tenant who was living in the house didn't want the tree to be removed, and so they didn't move forward with it. But I remember seeing photos of this before because it's causing such profound gutter and driveway problems. More recently, they submitted an application. They want to move forward with it. It was one of those trees that's pretty tricky to determine if it's a street tree, if it's on private property, because it's an unimproved section of roadway. But based on the proximity to the curb, we ended up making the decision to go ahead and regulate it as a street tree. But again, because of its size, last month we didn't want to render a decision without the input of the commission. Whenever an application is coming forward, the language in the code says that the staff may require an arborist report. I never want to cost an applicant money where I don't think it needs to be spent. Based on the quite obvious damage to the gutter and the driveway, what Elise turned in were basically just a couple of photos showing the damage. And because there wasn't anything more like an arborist report saying repair of this is, you know, not possible, we just didn't want to move forward with approval of it without input from the tree commission. Elise is here, and you're a member of the panel now. If you'd like to turn on your mic, and I would ask you to go ahead and speak in favor of the application, if you would. And, okay, good. She's unmuted. Elise, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
There you go. Great. Chris, do you mind if I go ahead and turn it over to her to speak in favor of the application?
Absolutely.
I am not really prepared to speak. I think that if you look on Google Earth and see the tree, or if you've seen it, you'll realize what the issue is. It's buckled the driveway. It's buckled the curb. It's a mess. And it's unfortunate because it's such a big tree, but it's also in the power lines. And I'm surprised that the utility companies haven't cut up the tree to prevent it from knocking on the power lines. In any event, I want to get the tree taken down. It's a danger.
Okay, thanks, Elise. Any questions for the applicant?
No, I'd just like to be able to move forward with this.
Understood.
Elise, I'm going to go ahead and put you back into a panel or an attendee mode. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming.
That's fine. Thank you.
Yeah, I saw a great big beautiful tree, and like Aaron put it well, profound damage. Pretty rough on the driveway. I think to fix it would require the removal of a whole lot of roots. That would be an issue, but that's my two cents on it. But
yeah, what I saw as far as the driveway, as far as buckling, it looks to me like there's more sinking. Personally, you know, maybe that wasn't compacted correctly before they put it in. Maybe it's just too thin of a slab, but the curb section is definitely messed up. And, so I think they could pull those chunks out and redo a curb over the roots, but it might just happen again, you know, eventually. I don't know which direction the water drains, you know, if it drains to the south or to the north.
So my understanding is that the curb really no longer functions as a as a proper drainage because it has so much uplift. And if I recall properly, and if I need to, I can bring Elise back in. Oh, she's raising her hand. I am going to bring her back in for that matter. My understanding is that when there's a high rain event, the water can actually then come up onto the driveway and rather than going down the hill, go into their property. Elise, is that correct?
It goes in the garage.
Yeah.
It is.
You said that was correct. Is that right?
It is. Yes.
Thank you. Is that what you were raising your hand for?
Yeah, there is a big drainage problem.
I'm going to just go ahead and leave you in this mode right now, Elise, in case the commission has any other questions for you.
Okay.
Did anyone else notice the gall rust in the tree? It has a fair amount of that. It's not necessarily lethal, but it's not the best thing for a pine, if that would be a factor.
I didn't notice the power lines either. Not to say they weren't there, I just didn't notice. Were they the high voltage lines? Or were they the comm lines? Did anybody?
I don't remember seeing them either.
It must be a power drop or something. The high voltage would always be trimmed.
Yeah.
Be trimmed from that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have any more questions for Elise.
All right. Eric, you good?
I'm good. I definitely.
Well, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to approve the permit as submitted.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. And is Elise here for Evan Street as well?
I know. No. Okay. She's only here for this application. Elise, okay. Thank you very much for attending. There's one more technicality I need to finish with tomorrow before this is formally approved to have the staff advisor sign the permit, but I'll be in touch either tomorrow or on Monday to let you know when it's finalized, okay?
Great, thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a good evening.
Okay, let's go back to the second agenda item. This is a call to order planning action tree 2021-00144. It's tax lot 6100 in Oak Knoll Drive. The owner applicant are Frank and Kathleen Millett. This is a request for approval to remove two large oak trees and one large pine on a vacant residential parcel on Oak Knoll Drive. The application includes a site plan showing the proposed residence and ARU location, showing that the proposed structures encroach significantly into the critical root zone of the trees, necessitating their removal. Any site visits on this? I did not. I wanted to, but.
Well, so if I can go ahead and take it, Chris?
Yeah.
So here's what I would say to this. If you recall, this application was before you in March as well. And the application at that time had a very generic building envelope and the request to remove the pine tree and the two oaks, and there was no arborist report. Gotcha. And you guys recommended denial, okay? Yeah. And so the applicant in that time has submitted revised materials. And actually, I got to say, I just realized that I didn't update the blurb because it still says removing the pine. So the amended materials now that are in your packet show the preservation of that large pine tree at the front of the property. And Chris, you did take a look at this on March, because I remember you and Asa both talking about those oak trees.
Yeah, I remember now. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And the arborist report, states that basically both those oaks have some pretty significant issues and he recommends removal. And so I had an opportunity to talk to the applicant today. To ask him if he was going to come and be a part of the meeting. I always try to encourage applicants, especially if it's an application that's coming to you the second time. And he basically said, well, I've given you the extra materials. I've got other things to do tonight, whatever. But basically, this is an amended application that you've seen before, but it's been bolstered with the arborist report and a revised site plan that does show the preservation of that pine tree.
But the big oaks are going. I mean, that one, the 36 inch is way back in the corner, right?
That's the recommendation, yeah. And you see the arborist report, I presume, right?
Wow.
This is from Beaver? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's kind of interesting because, yeah, the large oak in the back isn't within the building envelope.
What's the address on this?
It doesn't have an address because we don't assign addresses to vacant lots. No. It is immediately adjacent, though. I can tell you what it's immediately adjacent to.
Yeah, that would help.
It's immediately to the east of 979 Oak Knoll.
Another thing about it, it's right where Twin Pines Circle tees into Oak Knoll Drive, right across from that.
That's right.
Yeah. I remember the spot, and I've worked for the next door neighbors. Pete, have you had a closer look at this tree? Has anybody had a close look at this tree?
I took a look this week. The black oak is really, I thought that was really in good shape. The white oak has some issues, the lean and some.
That's like a really, some that's a really big one.
Yeah, right. Although it's probably, you know, knowing oaks, probably okay. But
wasn't that an oak that fell over the other day on Mary Jane?
Yeah, black oak.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably overwatered from the lawn.
Yeah, that would have been hard to predict. There wasn't any serious cavities or anything. Like the root rot, but.
Yeah, the mistletoe I saw was all kind of all, it wasn't just everywhere in little bits. It was kind of like large clumps. It'd be like the fun stuff to prune out.
Cause it's, yeah.
You know,
yeah, they all have mistletoe.
I know what you mean.
I don't really remember the cavity though that Clarence is talking about. I do know, seems like Clarence likes to cut down trees with cavities. You know, not every tree with a cavity is hazardous. I remember, you know, we talked about the black oak, you know, closer to the envelope. Or is that, yeah, the one in the building envelope. You know, that had a really nice form. It was a lot younger than the other one.
Yeah.
Really nice form. But they're willing to, you know, so they're going to do a basement level garage with two stories above. Like, is the pine going to survive that?
Well, it looks like it's the driveway that they'd be building around the pine, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Not a huge house, is it, Aaron?
24 by 24.
My understanding of what they're showing here is the garage with an ARU, and that there's also a home that would be that is yet to be designed. So my understanding is that the structure that's being shown here on the plan is just the garage with a living unit above, and that the home would sit in the area that is largely open still, which is why I can imagine that the construction activities may get pretty close to that 36 inch oak.
Yeah, the plan last month or 2 months ago, there was two building footprints, it seemed like, you know, hypothetical, but there was two. So maybe in the future they'll do another one. I'm kind of like, you know, really awesome oaks, awesome pine. They're willing to save the pine. You know, it's kind of their sandbox of what they want to do with their house. You know, it's.
Well, and here's the other thing to keep in mind, and this is always so tricky. I pointed this out 2 months ago when it came before you, is that we don't get a lot of applications to remove trees from vacant single family lots. If this property had a house on it, if it had a house that I could sleep in it, and it wasn't vacant, it'd be exempt. They could just remove these trees without coming to you at all. So the only reason it's before you is because the property is exempt. That's what makes this application a little bit odd. The only time you ever see anything like this is when we have one of those steep properties up in the hills that's been subdivided that we normally wouldn't let subdivide anymore, but someone comes in, they buy it, and because it's been subdivided, we have to allow at least some development on it. And so there's been a couple of times where you've seen applications to develop a vacant wooded lot way up in the hills, and it's typically being processed concurrently with what we call a physical and environmental constraints review, right, for the hillside development, et cetera. And a lot of those lots are so heavily wooded that, especially when you consider, you know, the building envelope and everything else, that you're having to remove a bunch of trees for the driveway, for the building envelope, et cetera. This is a little bit odd because it's not a constrained hillside lot that's going through a P&E. This is just someone saying, I want to build a house. So for all of those reasons, this application is a little bit different than what we often see.
What's the next step in their process? Will it go to the planning commission and all of that, or is it just...
It would only go to the planning commission is if we denied it and he wanted to appeal it. That's the only way this would get to the planning commission. And again, you know, it's possible that you guys could say, you know, we want to save these two oaks, and the staff advisor goes against your recommendation. Mm-hmm. It's also possible that the staff advisor follows your recommendation and then it appeals. I mean, that turns into a decision that has various implications when you think of the different appeal routes that are possible. So basically, if he gets approval, his next step is going to be cutting them down and building the house. If it gets denied for some reason, I think this is an application that would be ripe for an appeal.
One thing that crosses my mind is, you know, I think we talked about this in March, but just like, you know, that whole development of the Oak Knoll area, there were trees that were like, hey, we're going to subdivide this, but you got to save these trees, you know, designated trees, like, you know, these are like the big oaks, we want to save them. And I think we determined that these oaks are not part of that because they're not part of the public zones.
Yeah, the trees that would have been preserved would have been in areas that are dedicated open space. I think there's a couple of oaks that are in the front yard where the sidewalk has – or no, there's no sidewalk up there. But I think some of those oaks that are in the front yard were also protected during the subdivision. But I think in this particular case, it's a lot that someone didn't want to buy because it's an odd pie shape. And, you know, if it had developed out when the rest of the subdivision had developed out, I'm sure they would have just come down. And just this is a lot that sat vacant for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. So then another thing I'm thinking of is there's no neighbors or anyone that might be concerned about the removal of the trees coming to advocate for them.
Well, we did post and mail a notice, but no public comment was received during that time.
Yep. Yeah. And then, so to me, this is more to the other commissioners. You know, it's sort of like their zone. No one's complaining about it. It's like, okay, you know, it's, they've already come to us once. If we deny it again, it's likely to come into us again. Something mm-hmm. I'm noticing is that there is no sidewalk on that section of, at least it doesn't appear that there's any sidewalk on that parcel.
The whole subdivision doesn't have sidewalk.
Well, it looks like to the south it says
parking areas, parking spots.
So yeah, what I'm wondering is like in the future, is there likely to be sidewalk? And then what would that do to the pine? Like, you know, like let's say if I was to, you know, if we were to approve the application, you know, do we want to say like, hey, consider, you know, routing the sidewalk into the property? You know, sometimes that's happened before, like where people say, okay, yeah, the public, you know, the sidewalk can go inside the property versus right along the street, you know, to give that tree a little more room. So.
For the development of the single family house, he's not going to be required to install a sidewalk. And when you look at that entire subdivision, how for the most part, there is no sidewalk up there. I think it's a really low probability that the city would, because you look at how those properties are developed, the right-of-way is considerably wider than the paved area, and a lot of those houses have really mature landscaping all the way out to the curb. I just think it's really, really a low possibility that that would happen ever, frankly.
Okay, well, that's comforting. I like properties without sidewalks, personally. Yeah, I'm ready to make a motion, but I'm curious if anyone else has, you know, any ideas or imaginations or anything.
I just think for the statue of the tree, it's still a weak application. That's why we have risk assessments and all of that, and there's no pictures or anything. I again, and I don't want to hinder these folks from building their home, and it'll go through appeal and it'll be passed. And I feel bad I didn't have a up close look at these trees. So it's just feels like it's all written on the back of a napkin, and just get it done so we can build our house. And I think that's my hesitation attached to a big trees. And there's a couple of nice, really nice big trees in there. But I don't feel that I can confidently make that statement because I didn't have a close look. And there's a certified arborist that said they're a hazard. I think there should be a risk assessment along with it and a picture or two. So those are my two cents.
Well, we could ask them to have that done.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it sets a precedent, right? If we're going to make these decisions, I think the work needs to be done.
And that's a good point.
What's that?
That's a good point. It sets a precedent, not a very good precedent either.
And sometimes it's obvious, like Aaron pointed out, well, you know, it's a 7-inch volunteer ponderosa pine up against a fence. They don't need a risk assessment. It's pretty obvious. This isn't a slam dunk. It's not a detailed drawing of the house and where it actually is in relation to the root zone. And I guess I'm used to seeing, you know, pretty extensive both landscaping and home development plans, which not everybody needs to do or has the money to do. I get, you know, to hire consultants and all of that. Yeah, that's my initial thought, and I'm open to certainly more discussion, but
yeah, I think you bring it up, set in precedent. I think that's really, I'm glad you brought that up.
Me too. I agree. I hate to take it out on this gentleman, you know, or whoever it is. I mean, I think there should have been more homework here.
Can we pick your professional brain, Pete, since you had a closer look? Are you allowed to offer that opinion? Is this a hazard tree that should be removed whether the house is there or not, like this statement says?
The black oak is definitely not a hazard. And I think it's just a matter that it's in the building envelope. Mm-hmm. And that the bigger white oak, possibly that... Yeah, that has a pretty good lean and some rot.
Cavities.
So it's a potential hazard. Although where it is in relation to that building doesn't seem like a problem, but as Aaron was saying, it looks like they're going to build a house maybe back closer to that. So if that's the case, then it is going to be a problem.
How does the rule weigh in, Aaron, as far as buildable space? You referenced it earlier tonight about, you know, by law, they are able to build an X amount of square feet per the lot.
Well, so it's a little more complicated than that. In the steep slope properties, there's language about how terracing is to be avoided, like, you know, if you want a terrace to put in a tennis court, we're not going to allow that in the steep slopes, right? But this isn't steep slope land. So really his constraint to what he can build is governed by the standard residential setbacks and the lot coverage, which is the amount of impervious surface you can have on the total lot. So in terms of buildings, patios, walkways, driveways, in this zone, which is R110, he's limited to no more than 40% of the lot being covered in impervious surfaces. Mm. But as long as he's staying within those constraints, he can build a big house as he wants.
Like 10 stories. Well,
maybe well, no, 2.5 stories or 35 feet is the vertical limit.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's nice they're preserving the big pines. I think the oaks will be around longer than the pines, but I don't know. Can we approve with strong recommendations? I don't know. I do. I don't want to be the wrench in the wheel, but.
Well, if they build their garage and then they decide to build their house, you know, back there, they could remove that other tree at that time.
Yeah, that's a good question, because once they build a house, technically there's an exemption, but this is a land use action which will be in force. So, for instance, if you, for instance, approved the removal of the black oak but said that the white oak should be preserved, that would become a condition of approval that would have force of law. And so even though once he builds the house, technically he meets an exemption, the protection from the previous land use action would be the more restrictive.
What about this? I mean, the black oak, it's nice, but it's clearly in the critical root zone if they're going to build there. They're not necessarily calling that a hazard, right? It's a conflict of construction. The big white oak, they're calling a hazard. I don't see it be a conflict of construction, but can we maybe entertain approving the black oak, but needing to see a risk assessment on anything you're calling a hazard to remove it for those reasons.
Or a site plan for the proposed residence.
Yeah. So you're telling me, so they can build a house without a full-on site plan?
Submitted? Yeah, so building a house on a residential property is permitted, quote, as a right. So if you own a piece of vacant land and you want to build a house on it, you don't talk to the planning department at all. You go straight to the building department. Here are my drawings. I'll get a chance to review it, but it's not like there's a formal planning process. Mm. This is a planning process because the property is vacant and that's the way the code's written.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That one always threw me, because I've had clients in the past, a big empty lot, and they would take down a big tree and say, well, you got to go through the tree commission, and they don't always, you know, something like this. Yeah, that makes sense.
The other thing, Chris, is that it used to be that we exempted all single family tree removals.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a project where there was a large single family property. They said, hey, I'm exempt. They cut down all the trees. And then they came in for a subdivision process. And so that's when the exemption got tightened up and said, if the property is large enough to subdivide, that exemption doesn't apply.
But if it's not big enough to subdivide, okay.
Correct.
I don't know. What do you guys think? You're going to make a motion. Asa, can you tell us about it without making a motion?
Well, being that no one in the neighborhood came to, you know, advocate for the trees, you know, the preservation of the trees, being that it's, you know, their zone, it's come to us before, it's come to us now, basically with the same, it sounds like it's a little less hypothetical, you know, that was last time. It's like, we're going to hypothetically recommend this, even though this is just this is what we could do, but we're not planning on doing it. You know, now it seems like maybe it's a little more set in stone. I don't know. The developments kind of stupefy me in a way, you know, they're a little uncomfortable, you know, it's uncomfortable being like, oh yeah, totally cut down that awesome tree that's potentially raising your property value by, you know, $60,000 and increasing, you know, the beautification of the whole neighborhood. I mean, that's That's why we're here, is to advocate for the trees, right? You know, is the removal of those trees decreasing, you know, the species diversity, canopy coverage in a way? I mean, it'd be kind of a big bear zone without the trees, but then there'd be a house, and that's all over the place. So I guess being that no one's advocating, being that they're preserving the pine, sort of like, okay, at least it's better than it was proposed last month or 2 months ago. So that was kind of where I was leaning. But setting a precedent with not really having, you know, I mean, pictures would be nice for sure. I mean, what, you know, so that's a good point about setting precedent, being like, you know, I mean, there's plenty of certified arborists that will, you know, say you should cut down your tree and it's a hazard. I mean, every tree is a hazard in a way. I mean, could you prop that leaning tree up? I'd say so.
Leaning for 100 years. I don't know why it's a hazard all of this. But anyway.
So, yeah.
I mean, I think ultimately, you're right, Asa. I just have some hesitation. I wonder if there's a way we can slip that into the motion. I don't know what that looks like, but.
So is it true that we could approve the application as submitted with the recommendation that they don't remove the white oak? Period. And that if they needed to remove it in the future, they could come to us again. Is that right, Aaron?
Well, so barring any condition of approval from this, once they build a house, any future tree removal would potentially be exempt. You know, I think if you are against the white oak being removed, then your motion ought to be, we approve removal of the black oak, but don't feel there's enough evidence for the other one. I think putting in the but recommend that you don't language is.
Yeah, it gets wishy-washy and complicated, and people just, like I mentioned, I tried that once. It didn't work out. We cut it down anyway. Well, you said it was just a suggestion. Well, and it was, and it was just me not being clear enough with the language. Yeah. And then the hesitation is, well, you've got a certified arborist that said it was a hazard, and there's enough of, you know, and having Pete look at it, there's enough of a benefit of a doubt that if that thing falls over, well, shoot. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, it's going to come back.
It's going to come back, or just get appealed and signed off by the Planning Commission, because it's ultimately a single family home residential area. And like you said, no neighbors have gotten upset about it, and it'll be approved. It's,
I don't like it, but I think the application should be approved.
Yeah, no,
under the circumstances.
You could make the motion to approve the removal of the two oaks under duress.
<That's> duress, man.
It means that you
pulling your hair out.
You know that that you were sort of forced into it against your will.
Is that saying we're discussing?
I'll make a motion that we approve the application.
Yeah.
I second.
All those in favor? Under duress.
Under duress.
Here's the thing, and I get, and it's tough too, because my client's right next door. They got the other big, beautiful black oak tree, and I was kind of hoping they'd show up. You know, they've got kids, and I don't know. That's tough. But been a beautiful park, but it's not a park. Yeah. So
you could put on there that we were all under duress.
All under duress. We're being waterboarded. Anyway. Okay. Moving on. Let's see. Our
call to order, planning action, 2021-00150. This is 705 Hellman Street at Hellman Elementary School. The owner applicant is Concaring Landscape and Ashland School District Number 5. This is a request to modify previous planning approval, P2-2020-0020 for Hellman Elementary School at 705 Hellman Street to allow the removal of one tree, number 14, that was identified in the previous land use approval to be preserved and protected. Tree number 14 is a 15-inch diameter Zelkova serrata near the new parking area being created at the southeast corner of the campus along Hellman Street. During construction, it was determined that necessary site grading will impact the tree's root zone more than was initially anticipated, necessitating a removal request. And appropriately selected replacement tree will be required to mitigate the removal. All right.
So, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you for a staff report, unless anybody needs to abstain.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Of course. So this is one of those things that has happened more than once in the time that I've been here, where during the planning process, you know, they try to save what they can, etc. In this particular case, as it was described to me from Carrie, Carrie often does both the grading plans and the landscaping plans, but apparently a different civil engineer was handling the grading, and there was a miscommunication about what the present grade was and what the finished grade was going to be. And essentially, I got a phone call, I think the day we were putting the packet together, maybe it was the day before we were putting the packet together, because basically this was discovered as construction is ongoing. I'm not sure if you guys have been there, but it's significantly under construction. And basically what they came to find out was that the grade difference is so great that it's incompatible with the plan. And so there really isn't a pathway forward. I was hoping that Carrie was going to show up tonight to speak on behalf of the application, but that's the best of my understanding about what got us here. And, you know, it's one of those tricky things when people are doing planning is they want to show that they're saving as many trees as they can. And of course, then we get into this sort of situation and like literally this is getting ready to hold up work pretty soon here. So that is what I know about this application.
Okay.
So it's in the way.
In the way.
Trees.
Well, it's not necessarily in the way. It's just at the wrong elevation. We just need to magically make it higher.
It says it's a four foot difference. They're doing a 4 foot cut.
That sounds correct. Yeah.
4 feet from the trunk. It says basketball excavation is only 4 feet from the trunk and 4 feet deep. And the sidewalk on the other side is 3 feet deep. It was basically sandwiched between basketball court and the sidewalk, is how I understand it, and big grade changes. Am I understanding that correctly, you think, Aaron?
I believe so, yes.
Well, let's see. I mean, if we didn't raise the tree up, it would be a sort of a circular retaining wall. It'd be in the hole, which wouldn't be good for it at all.
Yeah, and the amount of roots you'd have to get rid of to make that happen.
Yeah.
What's the DBH of the tree?
15, I believe.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. Not nothing.
You'd have them contact Erickson Air Crane to help.
Transplant it.
I'm not feeling very one way or the other. It's just sort of like, well, it's a school doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Got a good plan to back it up and mitigation. Make a motion to approve application as submitted.
A second. Third.
Second by Eric. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. On to our last street tree. Call to order planning action 2020-00149. This is at 1360 Evans Street. Owner applicant is Pembroke Investments LLC. The request for removal of a street tree. The tree is causing damage to underground electrical infrastructure. The electrical department has temporarily mitigated the issue, but it cannot be fully repaired until the tree is removed. The electrical department has agreed to help the applicant remove the tree. The application includes showing the extent of the damage. The application does not include an arborist report.
So this came to me from the electrical department, and apparently the root system of the tree had caused enough damage to this electrical box that it couldn't be sealed appropriately, and creating a hazard, obviously. And so the next step for me to try to turn that into an application, because we obviously need the adjacent property owner to apply, was that I presumed that there must be sidewalk uplift as well. And so I contacted Public Works, because if there's a complaint about uplifted sidewalk, they would send a letter to the property owner and get them to take action. He took a look at it, and unfortunately, or fortunately, the sidewalk had been ground down, so there wasn't a trip hazard. So Public Works couldn't do anything to compel an application either. Ultimately, we got a hold of the property owner. They're getting ready to sell the property. This is a sticking point. She applied to get it removed. And I also forwarded out a memo today from Dave Tigerson that I got too late to get in your packet. So you have from the electrical department's perspective of the issue. He didn't clarify it as much as I would have liked to in that memo. But basically, the box is right next to the tree, and it seems like there's no other way to mitigate the problem, from what I can tell.
Yeah, may have a look at this one. Right by.
I didn't. I mean, electrical is just such a hazard. You know, I'm surprised they didn't consider an emergency removal if they can't seal that box. But so I just was like, well, it's the city. If the electrical department wants it out, it's pretty serious.
Kind of a mess, and it's a pair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that sidewalk's just going to continue to be an issue.
I'm ready to make a motion, unless you guys want to talk about it more.
Well, I mean, I would assume that Tigerson, you know, like they can't move the box, you know. I mean, the tree's just planted right next to it. It's like, who planted that thing? It's like, whoa.
Yeah. It's all so tight in there, all those park rows, and there's, you know, nice little street trees, but man, it's snug.
But it's a really good example of a lot of people are saying, oh yeah, like, oh, get rid of overhead power lines. It's better for the trees. But then you can't see the roots. So how do you prune the roots around electrical hazards in the ground? You know, like it doesn't really get rid of the interface issue of electricity and trees. So I thought that was a neat point. I agree with you, Eric.
Well, Asa, just to that point though, when they redid Hersey Street and they put a bunch of electrical underground, it went underground under the roadway. And that's the right place to underground the electrical. We're used to seeing it sometimes adjacent to the driving area, and that does put it in conflict with root zones, obviously. But well done underground electrical would be in the roadway where the water main and the sewer main is.
Okay, cool. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yep.
All right, Eric, you're up.
I make a motion to approve the application.
Second.
Those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. Let's see. I think that was all of them, huh?
That was all of them. There was one item that I wanted to touch on that I meant to say at the top of the meeting, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first meeting after April 30th. And by code, one of the things that should have been on our agenda today was the election of officers. That's been kind of kicking around our agenda since a year ago. And we didn't take any action because we were like, well, maybe we'll get more commissioners. Chris, I think technically you're termed out.
Mm-hmm.
I think technically you may have termed out a year ago. There are provisions for advisory commissions to basically say we vote to suspend the rules. I haven't had a chance to talk to legal about it. We've continued to sort of be operating in this manner. So I just wanted to bring that up for discussion because I certainly don't want, you know, any of the other commissioners to be like, well, I wanted to get elected as chair this year. but this does seem to continue to work really well. And I just wanted to bring that up as a discussion item to find out, hey, do you guys want to hold election for new officers? Do we want to just kind of continue doing things the way we have? And I'd put that to the floor.
I'd like to say something. I think Chris does a great job. He's calm. He's collected. He's been around the block. I wouldn't want any part of doing that. I would scatter, you know, I would stammer. I'd be an idiot. I've avoided it. There's been some times when Aaron, you were saying we need somebody to chair, and I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. You know, I mean. So personally, I don't ever want to do it. I think Chris is great, but I don't know. Maybe Chris is tired of doing it. So, anyway, that's
And I would love for Kat to be part of this too. I think, she could fill this role as any of you could. But Asa, do you have any interest?
No, I mean, I would, you know, if you were to step down, I would just to keep this thing going. But I wouldn't be comfortable with it. You know, I think you bridge the gap of tree world and people world really well and are a good speaker, you know. I think you have like a real kind of reputable kind of presence that is great for that like position. You know, people are going to take you serious. I don't know if they'll take me serious or I'll get too emotional and then I might, you know, sound angry or, you know, or sad, you know. It's like, I might just be like, approve, you know, just cause it's like, just get it over with. You know, I think Kat would be a great person that in the position too. But so, you know, if you really want to step down from the position, I'll step into it, but I don't think I'd be a good fit and it might wear me out.
Well, maybe yeah, Chris, well, maybe we have a little more conversation about it next month when Kat's around.
I think we set a hard deadline, make sure it's on the agenda, and then Kat says her piece, and I want to make sure she says nice things about me too, like these guys did. And
I have a question, Chris. Do you enjoy doing this?
Mostly, yeah, and I've been doing it for so long, it's gotten more comfortable, and I was like Asa, both of you, you know, just kind of nervous to begin with, and oh, do I want to do this? And yeah, no, I spend my days kind of mitigating opposing things and opinions entries and whatever. So it seems to fit okay, but I also certainly don't want to hog the spot if anybody else wants it. And the flow seems to work with all of us in our roles. It would be nice to have a solid vice chair or co-chair. Just for filling in, I super appreciate you filling in, Asa, doing the city council report. That was great. Yeah. I always feel like I'm lacking too in driving initiatives outside of what we do as far as reviewing permits. There's a lot of good stuff to be done in the tree world, and my life's so full, everybody's life's so full, especially on this time of year, which is full disclosure. I also sit on the Talent Urban Forestry Committee. And that's been good as well. And I was kind of wondering if that would be pulled two different directions, but it seems to be working out. I just do more Zoom meetings. But if you had somebody that was willing to spearhead and put some extra time into driving some of these neat initiatives, tree planting and tree inventory and, you know, lots of great ideas, but I certainly, yeah. My follow through comes and goes depending on how busy work is in life. But,
Well, you certainly do a great job, in my opinion. I mean,
I really appreciate really the confidence.
And I can see the way. Yeah, and people respond to you really well, like Asa said. They really do.
Thank you.
And I would concur with that for what it's worth. I think Chris is doing a great job, and I've seen him work for a long time and really appreciate it. And then the rest of you too, of course.
Yeah, it seems like we've fallen into a nice flow here.
It'd be nice. I just wish we had a couple more commissioners, frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yes, I agree. It's time to...
Well, as far as you said, it'd be nice to have a vice chair. I mean, I'm happy to be, whenever you're gone, I'm happy to be the fill-in guy. Even though I don't think I do as good a job, I'm happy to do that for sure.
I'll put it on the agenda for next month when Kat's here, and we can just knock it out then.
Okay.
Sure. And then
that's where the comfort level comes, Asa, is just by doing it a few times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
That's true.
And with the
also, Asa comes off really well. You come off very sincere when you've done it, Asa. Yeah, you really do. You may not know it because, you know, you're doing it and you're in the moment, but you come off real well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Somebody's here.
Okay. Was that a knock?
Like some knock at somebody's door.
Pizza guy.
Let me in.
But as far as more commissioners, you know, I think that'd be great. You know, when I talked with Mayor Stromberg, you know, he was just like, just, you know, go. I think he didn't want there to be any clashing, you know, and I think that's wise, you know, because someone could be, you know, I think we're all fairly, you know, we know we can't just put a wrench in every spoke, every wheel that comes our way. And we also know that, you know, trees are important. I mean, that's why, I mean, you know, if we get someone in here that's, you know, more just like, oh yeah, hey, this is my buddy, approve, you know, just like, doesn't really care about trees. He's more of a, you know, as a nuisance than a benefit to the community. So, you know, I think if anyone, I actually mentioned this to city council during the show and tell thing, that if, you know, I don't know if anyone heard, but if someone is interested, I think they should just show up and kind of see the flow. And in person, I think it would be a lot funner. You know, I think we typically have, I mean, we have fun here too, but, you know, it's that atmosphere, that vibe that people are going to feel like, do they want to be part of that? And, you know, they might pick up on like, oh man, that development agenda thing was a little rough. I don't know if I want to be part of this, you know? So I think, you know, feeling it out before they just, the mayor says, you're a tree commissioner, and they show up and just say, whoa, you know, either feel like they need to do too much or they don't know how to do it.
Yeah. And the addition of members would relieve a lot of pressure as far as quorum, having to be here every time, except for Aaron. But, and this mixes the energy up a little bit.
For sure.
Yeah. No, I think it would be great. And I've been thinking, you know, I wanted to mention to council just what a good job, you know, Russell had done.
Yeah.
Because he was on the commission for a long time.
Long time.
And, yeah, I think it would be awesome to have more people, for sure. And, it, you know, make it easier for us not to necessarily have to, not that we always agree, but I think we agree with each other to make it go smoothly. And it kind of has to go that way. You know, there's a little more room for diversity to actually reflect the tree commission probably even better. So yeah, let's get some more people.
Okay.
I know someone that I would want to, that I think would be great.
What was that?
And I say, I know someone that I think would be really good. I can't even remember how that happened.
Yeah. So there's on the city recorder's website, there's a link to the application. You mail the application to the city recorder. And I believe on the tree commission's page, I'm checking right now. Come on. Okay. I did this on the Art Commission. I don't have it here. On the Art Commission, I have a link where it says interested in being a tree commissioner, and there's a link to the city recorder's page. And I'll put that up next week probably. But basically, all they need to do is go to the city's webpage, go to the city recorder, and there's an application to fill out, and they just mail it in, and it gets processed from there.
Okay. I'll have this person. I'm sure they'll want to do it.
I tell you what, Eric, okay. I will send you a link.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay, make it easy. Okay. You know, we older people, we kind of get confused on, you know, these computers.
I'm sending you an email right now, Eric.
Uh-oh. No.
I'm wondering, you know, to be a commissioner, you have to be a volunteer. Like, you can't be paid by the city and stuff like that. You know, that's why they kicked Mike Oxendine off. But I'm wondering, is there any incentive besides, you know, the
joy?
It's the city be like, hey, here's a little lunch stipend for the 4 or 5 hours you spend driving around town looking at trees. Like, why don't you eat some lunch? You know, it's like, I wonder.
Civic dude.
Hey, so have you watched budget? Have you watched any of the budget committee meetings yet? Apparently not.
It's a thankless job, Lisa.
Yeah.
That's why we have our day jobs. That's why we make the big bucks.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I missed this in the beginning of the meeting, but did we need to approve minutes?
We were on tech support when that was happening. You dropped out. We took care of it.
Okay, awesome. And then tree of the year, do we know what tree of the year won?
Oh,
tree won?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. The very ugly ponderosa pine that Eric nominated with like the 4 liters or whatever. Is it on Iowa Street? Is that where it is? So quick story. It was like 3 days before the deadline for voting, and that ponderosa pine is leading by one vote. And I send out an email to the entire community development staff with a link. And I said, please vote for a tree a year. This ugly ponderosa pine is about to win. And I couldn't gin up any votes.
I would have voted against it. I'm sorry. It was kind of a joke. Whose is it?
Distinctive. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, everybody in town knows that tree.
It's been like that forever.
Yeah.
You know, the poor thing, I felt really bad for it. You know, it needed a good hug. It needed some energy.
Needed a good hug.
It's doing good. You know, all the unions, they're not steep. You know, they're not like including bark. Well, at least from what I remember, you know, it's a successful tree.
I love it.
And now it's going to be memorialized.
Through the year?
So the oak ended up winning, Aaron? Is that?
No, the pondy did.
Oh, okay.
The goofy pine. We'll call it the Simpson pine.
The Simpson pine.
Don't do that to me. Dr. Seuss, yeah. I'm going to hang a yellow ribbon around it.
Not a blue ribbon for winning first place.
What's that?
Not a blue ribbon for winning first place.
No. Not a blue. It doesn't get a blue.
What was that? Was that a motion for adjournment?
That was a motion for adjournment.
I heard that.
7:25. We will adjourn.
Good to see you all.
Get some dinner. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.